There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Kurt Haskell subbing in for Joyce Riley today. And as I stated at the start of the show, since I'm doing this broadcast from Costa Rica, I'm going to add in a couple local stories that I think might be of interest to listeners and put a little Central American flair on today's show. So that's what we're going to do here for the next couple minutes. There was an interesting article from our local newspaper here called the TicoTimes.net, TicoTimes.net. And according to this article, Costa Rica has been running on nothing but renewable electricity for the year 2015, this year, which is, to me, pretty amazing. It's not burning any fossil fuels at all in the production of electricity. Compare that to the United States, where renewable energy generates only 13% of electricity. Iceland also runs on fully renewable energy, but that is the only other country in the world to do so. Here in Costa Rica, we have quite a few volcanoes, and that allows the country to tap into geothermal power. Also, some luck has been involved. Most of the country's electricity comes from hydropower, and thanks to recent heavy rains, hydro plants have been able to supply more power than usual. So this may not continue, but it's a nice story that at least so far in the year 2015, all electricity for this country has been from renewable sources. Now, another article regarding Costa Rica, there has been a new frog species found here in Costa Rica, and the frog looks like Kermit the Frog. And this species is called Hyalinobacterium dienae. And this was similar to a glass frog, and this lime-colored amphibian has translucent skin on the underside and has eyes like the famous Muppet Kermit. He's actually pretty cute. I haven't seen one of these yet. I was hoping maybe I would get one at my house. We do get a lot of frogs here, but I haven't seen one yet. This frog was photographed by Brian Kubicki, who detailed the new species in a study with zoologist Stanley Salazar and Robert Pushendorf. So kind of a feel-good story here in Costa Rica. This country has 0.3% of the land mass in the world, but has 5% of the biodiversity of the world. So Kermit the Frog, our new find, just adds to that biodiversity. Now, we mentioned volcanoes a minute ago. Well, one of the volcanoes here has been erupting. Turrialba volcano has now entered a more dangerous phase, and this is also according to TicoTimes.net. This volcano has now been erupting for about 2 months, and they think that lava that was ejected during an eruption on April 7th during that eruption, hot rocks were sent into the sky 2 kilometers straight up. But they think this has caused the volcano to enter a more dangerous phase where the lava and the rocks are coming from deeper within the earth and the eruptions are getting bigger and hotter. So this volcano, thankfully, is a couple hundred miles from where I'm at, but during the last big eruption that it had, the San Jose Airport was closed for a couple days. So we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to start back with the second hour. We'll see you in a few minutes.
break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Welcome back to Altitude of Power Hour with Kurt Haskell, subbing today for Joyce Riley. You know, I thought since this is my inaugural show that I would do a bit of an introduction of who I am exactly, in case some of the listeners don't know who I am. So you might be wondering who this crazy guy is filling in today. So I'm going to give you a little bit of my background, just so you know who I am and what my experience is with false flag terrorism, which we'll deal with at the bottom of the hour when we have Patrick Henningsen from 21st Century Wire on to talk about the Boston bombing trial. So, you know, I was a passenger on Northwest Flight 253 on Christmas Day 2009, and that was the so-called underwear bomber flight. I actually sat about seven rows behind the underwear bomber, but on the other side of the plane. But what really thrust me into the news was I saw the underwear bomber before he boarded, and I saw him being escorted by a so-called sharp-dressed man in a tan suit who got him upon the plane, even though he didn't have a passport. And at first I tried to help in the investigation, but it became clear very early on that the government did not want my help. The FBI came to my law office and tried to convince me that I didn't see what I did. And the media early on reported that there were 400 hours of security camera footage that had been watched by law enforcement, and no accomplice could be seen on any of the video. And about a month after the incident, there were congressional hearings, and in the hearings, it was admitted that the government knew the underwear bomber was a terrorist, that he was allowed on the plane intentionally, and he was allowed on the plane, according to the government, so that he could lead to other terrorists within the United States. Now, it would take me a while to determine that portion of the story wasn't true. And shortly after the congressional hearings, ABC News reversed its story and came out and admitted that there, in fact, was an accomplice. But he was there at the airport to make sure the bomber didn't get cold feet, and that, we would later find out, is also not true. I began attending the court hearings, and many times I would be the only passenger there watching the hearings. And I watched as the underwear bomber fired his attorney, and Judge Edmonds appointed a standby attorney, and other weird things that went on in this trial. For instance, Judge Edmonds sealed all the airport security video permanently. It's never been shown to the public, even though this occurred at a foreign airport. And Judge Edmonds ruled that standby attorney Chambers could not have access to any of the evidence unless the bomber decided he wanted to show it to him, which I thought was very strange. And then during that hearing, the prosecution admitted it did not want to give the standby attorney the evidence because it could be subpoenaed by third parties who could use it to sue the United States government, which I thought was a very interesting comment, especially since I could have been one of the plaintiffs. More important evidence as far as the DNA that was on the bomb, a copy of the bomber's passport, and taped interview with an airline security personnel who I believe was the sharp-dressed man, were all withheld by the prosecution until just before the trial. And that was just another dirty trick by the government to allow the standby attorney and the bomber to not hire experts to actually look into the credibility of this evidence. As the trial approached, I was named as not only the star witness for the man that allegedly tried to kill me, but the only witness. His goal was to plead entrapment, that he was supplied with a bomb from the government. We would subsequently find out that the bomb was intentionally defective. He was given this bomb by an undercover government agent after the detonator had been removed. The explosive experts hired by the prosecution, two of them, to testify in the trial, both indicated to the media that the bomb was impossibly defective. So I knew that this trial could not continue. The statements by the explosive experts would be damning, as well as my testimony needed to be hidden. And 3 hours into this case, despite having lenient plea deals on the table, which I found out this information from a credible source, the bomber, Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, took a plea to life in prison with no chance of parole before he even made an opening statement, before he even called one witness. He will never get out of prison. And that is just unbelievable that someone would take a plea such as this. That is the worst case scenario for a defendant. If you think this is a possibility and there are no better pleas on the table, you go to trial. And as I've already stated, I knew from a credible source that there were lenient plea deals on the table that he rejected. Now, sometime after the trial, I ran into his attorney at a court hearing. His standby attorney. We just happened to both be at the same courtroom that day. And I said, let's chat in the hall. And I said, look, you know, as well as I know, being attorneys, that plea deal was not legitimate. And there are only three possibilities in my mind as to why that plea deal took place. The underwear bomber was promised something, he was threatened, or he was beaten. And Mr. Chambers told me that he believed the bomber was either threatened or beaten in order to take that plea. And partially because of my experience in the underwear bomber case and the corruption that I saw, not only in putting lives in harm's way, because although the bomb lacked a detonator, it did catch the plane on fire, and two seats did burn up. The floor was on fire, and there were flames 8 feet up the wall. I decided to run for United States Congress in the 2012 election. And in that election, I won the primary. And in the general election, I lost to incumbent Tim Walberg 53% to 43%. And that was my last straw for the United States. Because in my opinion, if the people of the United States will allow its government to do these sort of things to its citizens and then not vote in a person that will stand up for them, but will vote in an incumbent that has done nothing for their interest ever, then it was time for me to leave. And I know there are many good people in the United States, and I know there are many aware people, but I think those people are in the minority. And hopefully there are some of those people listening to this show here today, and I am changing some of their opinions. So that led to my move and my wife Lori's move to Costa Rica 1 year ago this week. So that's a little bit of my story and who I am. There's a lot more to my story that you can find on the internet simply by Googling my name. You'll find probably millions of stories about me in much more detail than I'm able to cover here today. But I just wanted to give the listeners a little bit of an idea who I am, in case you're unfamiliar with my story. So now we're going to change gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about the Boston bombing. Again, we have Patrick Henningsen coming on at the bottom of the hour to talk about a couple articles he's written on the Boston bombing. We're going to talk about that in detail. But since I am a former trial attorney, I thought it would be interesting if I would put together my opening statement that I would say if I was Jahar Tsarnaev's defense attorney. We didn't actually get a legitimate opening statement from his attorney. So I'm going to take the next few minutes here, and I'm going to give you my opening statement, what a real opening statement should have sounded like from a legitimate attorney and not this circus sideshow that we saw that was the Boston bombing trial. So we're going to get into that right now. We have a break coming up here in just a couple minutes, but I'm going to get started on this. So hold on to your horses. This is going to be what you should have heard in the Boston bombing trial. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we are here today to decide if Jahar Tsarnaev, an American citizen and a college kid majoring in engineering, shall be allowed to continue pursuing his American dream of becoming an engineer, or shall instead be imprisoned, potentially for life, or even worse, sentenced to death. I must remind you, it's not your job to solve every aspect of this crime, but to merely decide if Jahar Tsarnaev is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. However, in this case, we will not only show that Jahar Tsarnaev is innocent beyond all doubt, but we will provide you with photographic evidence to prove who placed the bomb at the second bombing location on Boylston Street. I take a break now. We'll come back, and I will conclude my opening statement before we have Patrick Henningsen at the bottom of the hour. Thank you.
Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like your green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Kurt Haskell subbing today for Joyce Riley. When we left off before the break, I was reading through my proposed opening statement for the defense in the Boston bombing trial. I'm going to continue with that for the next few minutes before we bring on Patrick Henningsen from 21st Century Wire at the bottom of the hour. Okay, back to the opening statement. The truth will shock you. You've been fed a storyline from the media. Contrary to what some believe, the media is not in the business of telling the truth, but is instead in business to make money. In this case, the media has chosen to demonize my client, an innocent man. Likewise, members of the police force and political elites are not in the business of truth-telling. As much as you would like to believe they are, other priorities may get in the way of telling the truth in certain instances, like this one. The truth will shock you. During the course of this trial, you will hear from Allie Stevenson, who is there and who will tell you that over the loudspeakers, he heard that drills were taking place. You will also hear from Karen Mackey. Karen has been present at numerous Boston marathons, including this one. And she will tell you that she was shocked at how over-the-top security was before the race started. You will also see how bombing drills were announced in the Boston Globe. My friends, what took place the sad day in which many were injured and sadly others lost their lives was a bomb drill that went wrong. The situation is not unprecedented, and you will hear from witnesses how a similar drill gone bad situation took place during the 1993 World Trade Center attack. Tamerlan Tsarnaev, my client's deceased brother, was an FBI informant. We will bring forth evidence to prove this is in fact true. He was part of a bombing drill. He was part of the drill, and whether he was or wasn't involved in the detonation of live bombs is irrelevant. Tamerlan met his unfortunate demise while in police custody. We will provide you with photographic evidence that he was alive and well as he was taken into custody. His death forever silenced. Silenced Tamerlan from telling his side of the story. Likewise, Tamerlan's friend, Ibrahim Todashev, was silenced and killed by the police in an alleged scuffle. He, too, was silenced and unable to testify as to his knowledge of Tamerlan's involvement as an FBI informant. Still, we will provide evidence indicating Tamerlan's FBI involvement. Likewise, Chahar was nearly silenced when a boat he was hiding in, hiding because he was scared as to what the police would do to him, was shot with hundreds of rounds of ammunition. He, too, could have been silenced. As evidence, the prosecution will present a confession allegedly written by Jahar with a ballpoint pen in the dark on a fiberglass boat as he was hiding. Our handwriting analysis will testify that the handwriting of the note does not match Jahar's handwriting. Further, the writing is neat, perfect, and evenly spaced. It would be nearly impossible to write such a neat, evenly spaced note with a ballpoint pen on a fiberglass boat in the dark. Undoubtedly, the prosecution will attempt to paint my client as a co-conspirator with his brother Tamerlan in the detonation of two live bombs. However, my client is innocent and was nothing but a mere bystander who happened to have a backpack. The prosecution will show that the backpack that detonated was black, but Jahar's backpack was light gray. There isn't one shred of evidence that my client was a co-conspirator in the attack. Jahar lived in a college dorm. It was searched, and no evidence against him was found. Jahar was merely a college kid pursuing his education. We have heard there is video evidence of Jahar being involved in the shooting of Officer Collier, but it is impossible to identify anyone in the video. We have heard through the media that there is a video showing my client dropping his backpack at the second bombing site on Boylston, but that is not true. Such a video does not exist and never has. You have been lied to. If a bomb drill had gone bad and several people died and many more were injured, someone would have to get the blame. Political careers would be on the line. Officers' jobs would be at risk. The news would be international, embarrassing, and American citizens would be outraged. You will also hear evidence that police initially named Sunil Tripathi and Mike Mulugeta as the two wanted men in the bombings. However, Tamerlan Tsarnaev and Ibrahim Todashev were found dead, and they're unable to tell their side of the story. If police were so sure Tripathi and Mulugeta were the perpetrators, then how can we now say beyond a reasonable doubt that Jahar is guilty? Short break here, and then we'll finish up with my opening statement and bring Patrick Henningsen on just after the break. Hang with us.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
By now you may have heard a bit about bitcoins, but did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoins by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Kurt Haskell filling in today for Joyce Riley. Please remember, everyone, to take a look at thepowermall.com. We have some great sales this week, including the DVD, The Hidden Enemy, a documentary inside psychiatry's covert agenda. And this documentary reveals how military psychiatrists have used emotionally and psychologically wounded soldiers to experiment with treatments like electroshock, insulin shock, mind-altering drugs, etc. It's on sale this week. Take a look at that. There's also some other great products that are on sale. So please take a look at thepowermall.com, or you can call into the show at 877-817-9829 and purchase products that way too. So please do so and help support the show. Just finishing up the last bit of my proposed opening statement for the defense in the Boston bombing trial before we bring on Patrick Henningsen from 21st Century Wire. So the real perpetrator of the second Boston bombing is still out there. You will hear forensic testimony that when the pieces of the bomb were tested for DNA, an unknown female DNA was found. Not only that, but a female, likely the same one whose DNA was on the bomb fragments, can be seen at bomb site 2, reaching over the retaining fence to set her purse on a trash bag next to a mailbox 1 foot in front of the Richard family and 10 feet to the right of the Richard family. The woman placed her bag on the trash bag and left. She was not injured in the explosion, indicating that she was nowhere near the bomb or her purse when it detonated. The location next to the front corner of the mailbox was the detonation site, as you will be shown by photographic evidence. The evidence will also show that the detonation location, as alleged by the prosecution, which was next to the tree, is impossible. Lastly, we must look at the injuries to the Richard family, which are not consistent with the bomb location, as indicated by the prosecution. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, not only is Jahar Tzarnaev not guilty, he is innocent and most assuredly not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. An unknown woman who is seen in photographic evidence dropping her purse with a bomb in it at the detonation site is the perpetrator of the second bombing. The blast pattern cannot be denied. Female DNA was found on the bomb, and it is likely hers. Likewise, there is not one shred of evidence that Jahar is involved in this bombing. I understand that this has been a devastating event to the city of Boston. The only thing that could make it worse would be to convict an innocent man and allow the woman responsible for the second bombing to remain a free woman. Thank you. So, thank you, everyone. Hopefully you enjoyed my proposed opening statement for the defense in the Boston bombing case. We have Patrick Henningsen here as a guest. I want to get to him. Patrick Henningsen is a geopolitical analyst and founder of the news site, news and analyst website, 21stCenturyWire.com. That's the number 21st, CenturyWire.com. And he is a regular news independent correspondent for RT International and host of the Sunday Wire weekly radio show, broadcast globally on ACR Network. So, Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hello, Kurt. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, good to hear from you again. So, I know you've been looking into the Boston bombing case in a lot of detail, really. And you've written two articles on the Boston bombing, or have you written more than that?
Yeah, we've actually done about 60 in total.
60.
Yeah, from the beginning, and we have them archived up on our website. So I was really following this story from when it broke and, crowdsourcing as much evidence as possible with other online news sites, journalists as well, bloggers, and especially so really intensely within the first 2 weeks of the event, really on top of it, and collating everything, listening to Boston police scanners as well during the pursuit. And there's, of course, a lot of anomalies, a lot of unique anomalies, and those have been flagged up ad nauseum all over the internet. And, of course, this instance that you're talking about at the beginning of your opening statement, that's really getting down to the brass tacks in terms of the legal defense. And of course, that's, I think, what you basically brought to me last week and showed me, and I thought it was probably the most compelling bit of defense. If your job is, in fact, to defend this person, the young Tzarnaev brother, who's being accused of a capital murder and weapons of mass destruction, according to the Department of Justice, which carries a death penalty. That's pretty serious. And is your job as an attorney or me or anybody to raise a reasonable doubt? And if that's the case, what would be required to create that reasonable doubt for the jury? And certainly at the point of the bombing itself, is this person responsible? Or is he being kind of, I don't know, it seemed like a whitewashed trial now in retrospect. They've ignored a very huge piece of evidence with regards to the woman who's dropped her purse, a white trash bag in front of the fence where clearly the explosion took place in front of the fence, not where Tzarnaev was. And so we have some photographic forensic evidence. And if you dig a little deeper, which we could later in this discussion, but let's deal with the evidence that's been omitted from the defense. It seems to me, Kurt, that the defense is completely rolled over from before the trial started. A year ago, we heard all sorts of talk. You know, the brother coaxed him into it, and there is no CCTV footage. It doesn't exist. And all of a sudden, when the trial starts, it's like, yeah, he's guilty. I've never seen the defense concede such a huge amount for their client than in this trial. I don't know if you can comment on it, but to me it was shocking.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a former trial attorney, and I probably in my career probably handled several hundred trials at least. I didn't keep track of the numbers, but it was a lot. And listen, when you give an opening statement, your goal is to switch the jury's state of mind at that moment in time into favoring your client, or at the very least, to impress upon them that they need to have an open mind that your client is not guilty. And what I saw in the opening statement from, I believe her name is Judy Clark, the defense attorney.
Yeah, Judy Clark.
Was she started off, and remember, the jury pays the most attention when you start. You know, if you start talking for a few minutes, they start nodding off or their attention goes somewhere else. Her very first sentence, it was him. It was him that did the bombing. It was him that shot the police officer. You know, I don't remember all the it was hims, but why? Why on earth would a defense attorney start off an opening statement like this? I mean, listen, if I was teaching at a law school, teaching a first-year law student trial workshop class, and one of my students prepared an opening statement that said, it was him, I would give them an F minus. This is exactly what you're not supposed to do. You're trying to get the jury to believe in your client, or at least have an open mind to them at that moment in time. Now, if you don't feel like you can make a good opening statement at that point in time, for whatever reason, you can defer it to the end of the prosecution case and not even give one. And even that would have been a better decision by Judy Clark. A bad one still, in my opinion. But she could have done that, and it would have been better than what she did. But in this case, she foreclosed even the slightest possibility of a not guilty verdict for Jahar, because every time the jury considers a piece of evidence, they're going to think back to the opening moment of the trial where his own attorney said it was him. So, as soon as I heard that, I knew this was not a legitimate trial. Frankly, this is something that Judy Clark should be disbarred for. This is something that a grievance should be filed against her for with the State Bar of California. I understand that's where she's has her bar license. And Ms. Clark should be disbarred, in my opinion. If I did this, this is such shoddy work, I would probably be disbarred. It's that bad, people. This is not how trials are handled, people. Compare what she did to the proposed opening statement I gave a few minutes ago. It's night and day. So, yeah, I mean, were those your thoughts, Patrick, too, when you heard this opening statement? This, the fix is in?
Yeah, because it was complete contravention from more or less everything that I had heard coming out of the defense team now going back, 14, 15, 16 months. And so a year ago it was completely different. And you have a number of things as well that are in the public domain. I mean, aside from the forensics of the case, which, even we have access to in terms of photographic evidence. And I know there's a lot of stuff out in circulation with, Kraft International security guards all dressed khaki pants, black backpacks as well, matching backpacks in some cases to some of the mangled explosive backpacks. But putting that aside, even, we have access to all this photographic evidence. There's also what's in the public domain that Tamerlan Tazarnov, the older brother who sadly cannot defend himself, who's been presumed guilty as well, he was an interesting character, and it's fairly known now that he was being recruited by the FBI to be an informant. Now, some people might say, well, that's no big deal. Lots of people get recruited to be informants. What does that prove? Well, I'll tell you what it proves. Because I remember watching live coverage of this event, and I remember the Boston police, the day before these two brothers were killed and apprehended, they were pursuing two other suspects in hot pursuit. This was live on the Boston police scanners, and those two gentlemen's names was Sunil Tripathi and Mike Mulugeta. And we believe, we're told anyway, that Mike Mulugeta was shot and killed by police, and Sunil Tripathi turned up dead in a pond in Providence days after this incident. And he was also on the FBI's missing persons list. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is what that means. At that time, right after that, that was into the public domain, the FBI held a snap press conference in Boston, put up the two images of the Tsarnaev brothers. They'd previously asked the public to look through their photographs and give us any images that might help find the perpetrators. Of course, that created a flood of images that ended up on websites like 4chan, which had all the Kraft International operatives. That's Chris Kyle's old mercenary company. And I think law enforcement probably freaked out because they didn't realize how much there was out there. And so they put up the two pictures of Tamerlan and Jokhar Tsarnaev and said, does anyone know the identities of these two men? These are our only suspects. Do not entertain any conspiracy theories online. Don't look at any other images. There's no one else. These are the guys. And do you know who they are? Well, that's a little bit disingenuous considering the FBI themselves, who's holding that press conference, had recruited Tamerlan Tsarnaev, have a file on him, know his brother, his father, his mother, everybody. So they're putting this to me, it's like kind of a phony public plea for information about two people who they know darn well who they are. So that tells me, from a circumstantial point of view, that I felt that these two were set up. Then I find the older brother had gone to Chechnya to an event organized by the Jamestown Foundation called the American Committee for Peace in the Caucasus. And this was probably around 2012. So, you know, that's a Freedom House-linked organization, George Soros-linked organization, which is neither here nor there in terms of this case. But when you have people like Craig Murray, former British diplomat and intelligence analyst, coming out drawing these same conclusions, and others as well, then there's a compelling case immediately to know that something is up here with the FBI, that they were not being straightforward with the public when this event was breaking, okay? So that's when my red flags went up back in 2013.
I was paying very close attention to it as it was going down, and it didn't seem right to me either. Like you said, I saw that Sunil Tripathi and Mike Mulugeta were also listed as suspects, and then miraculously found dead. And, of course, then these Tsarnaevs are listed as suspects the next day, where the FBI says, we don't know who these guys are, when they knew exactly who they were. So what that tells me is that there was some sort of cover-up going on. Not only that, but any sort of evidence coming from the FBI that was stated in the trial or presented as evidence in the trial is suspect and not credible. And this is some sort of setup. And not only that, we have to take it a step further. Not only were Tripathi and Mulugeta killed off, Tamerlan Tsarnaev was killed off after he was arrested. There's pictures of him alive being taken into custody. And then, of course, we're shown an autopsy photo. Seriously, when do we ever see an autopsy photo of just a nobody? I mean, the only ones I can think of would be like, you know, President Kennedy or someone important.
Yeah.
They release an autopsy photo as if they need to prove that he's actually dead.
Yeah.
You're right. You know, after there's pictures of him being taken into custody, well, here's the autopsy photo. Look, he really was dead. His brother ran him over. You know, and then the FBI goes down to Florida to interview Tamerlan's friend, Ibrahim Todashev, and then suddenly he ends up dead. No witnesses to that except FBI agents, of course, because he supposedly tried to grab a sword and attack them or something like that. It's just, it's nonsense. It's what it is. But what's really disturbing, and I'm going to ask for your comment on this, Patrick, to me, the Sunil Tripathi and Mike Mulujeda, who were the initial suspects and were killed off, look very similar to the Sarnoff brothers. And what that brings up in my mind is the Charlie Hebdo event earlier this year, where there were seemingly another set of lookalikes involved in the case that were caught on video in a gas station robbery. So we're going to go to break now. We'll be back here in 3 minutes to continue our discussion on the Boston bombing event.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS, 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Curve Haskell here today, subbing for Joyce Riley. We have a terrific topic, the Boston bombing event and trial that we're discussing here with Patrick Henningsen, who I'm pleased to have on the show today. And Patrick, in case any of you don't know, is a geopolitical analyst and founder of the news and analysis website, 21stcenturywire.com. He's also a regular news independent correspondent for RT International and host of the Sunday Wire weekly radio show broadcast globally on ACR Network. So, Patrick, welcome back.
Yep. Thanks, Kurt.
I was just finishing a thought. I'm going to ask for your comment on it here in a second. It appears that Tripathi and Mulujeda, who were apparently killed off in this attack, have a strong resemblance to the Tsarnaevs. And this brings to mind, at least for me, the Charlie Hebdo attack, where it appeared there were doubles in that attack also. Now, I'm not really sure how the doubles come into play on this. I'm just throwing that out there, that it's some sort of, to me at this point, it's a bizarre coincidence, but I'm sure there's more to it. Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that probably was the most striking thing when I first came across Sunil Tripathi's photograph, multiple photographs, in fact, and the resemblance to the young Tsarnaev to Jokar is really striking. So my question was, you know, why were Boston police previously in pursuit of two completely different suspects to the Tsarnaevs, and why are those two people dead? So, I mean, here's the fundamental problem that we have, you know, in this country, is if certain agencies, or in this case, I believe this case is fairly well classified. Like, I don't know if, as a member of the public, I couldn't go and dig into it. I don't know if I'll be able to get access to the, autopsy or toxicology or post-mortem reports for both Mulugeta and Tripathi. But what I can deduce just from the timeline beforehand is that, in terms of this manhunt, we have, you know, even CBS, so this is all confirmed, by the way. So I have a report from CBS local affiliate in Boston, and they said, I quote, Boston police on Friday revealed the names of two suspects of the Boston bombing, one of whom is a person of Indian origin, Sunil Tripathi, as reported by WFSB. So Mike Mulugeta as well was mentioned there. Tripathi was reported on March 16th. He was on an FBI missing persons list. Okay, and so this was coincidentally following a series of bomb explosions in Providence, Rhode Island, or in that area between, I believe, Boston and Providence, taking place 1 month earlier, around March 12th, 2013. So, and then we have at 11 p.m. on April 18th, an SUV was allegedly carjacked at that point on the MIT campus. A policeman was shot. So, and then Tripathi's Facebook page gets taken down at that moment. So, I find the thing very interesting. So, I've got a reasonable doubt already. And also, the police were mentioning on the scanner Operation Tango 911, Operation Tango 911. So I don't know if that's a DHS call sign or what that was, but that we put that up on our note board at the time as well. So we all we can do, Kurt, you know, from my position, is we can gather as much evidence as we can, and we can arrange it in some kind of coherent way. We can put it up online, and then our hope is, Kurt, that someone with the resources can take it and get some answers for us.
Right, and that's exactly what we're trying to do here today. Let's take a break here, and we'll be back just a couple minutes. Patrick Henningsen from 21st Century Wire will be back with us after the break.